You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. I'm Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton, Chief Creative Officer. How are you, Michael?
Pretty good. Enjoying the latest chapter in the Samsung debacle.
Oh, we're going to do this again?
Yeah, we're gonna do it again. I'm sorry.
So they fixed all the problems and case closed, right?
Yeah, everything's
Wiped
fine.
Wiped their hands of clean of the problem.
Everything is fine, except that some of the replacement units seem to be overheating and at least one has exploded.
So I'm thinking this is not even really a QA problem. This is a sourcing the wrong kinds of batteries or bad batteries, period.
It's really hard to say what's going on. I mean, they're not being particularly transparent about anything, and their recall is not amazing. Anecdotally, I actually talked to somebody who did today who bought a Note 7, and they submitted a request for the recall, and they're supposed to take 1 or 2 days to get back to you. He hasn't heard from them in 5 days.
So okay.
He still has the potentially explosive phone, and he hasn't heard back from them in 5 days when they're supposed to reply within 2 days.
Yeah, 5 days is unreasonably long.
So they're not exactly handling any of this well, and they're not really saying what's wrong, and we're now getting these reports that even the replacement phones are defective in certain ways. Even if they don't all explode, like, it's possible that this was an isolated case, but there are multiple reports of the replacement devices overheating and generally having severe performance issues, like lag, stuttering, just really weird hardware problems.
I agree that they're not handling it well, but is it that maybe they could just be overloaded? So many complaints to deal with? Is that a possibility?
It's possible, but the thing is, the recall started relatively soon after the launch. So reportedly, they had only shipped out about 25 million units worldwide.
Which, in and of itself sounds like a lot, but maybe in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, given the size of a company like Samsung, they should be able to handle that fairly easily, but they've just kind of flubbed it. And as a result, the recall is still ongoing. Like, I think in the US, last week I said it was 50%, more or less. Now, a week later, it's still around 60%.
And on top of what makes it worse, I think, for them is that they do not, as a company, they don't have the support like Apple does of having the individual retailers who can handle repairs in the stores. They have some stock there where they can just do a straight up swap of your phone if need be. But now everybody has to go out of their way to send it right back to the factory or wherever it's going.
Yeah, right. It gets complicated because, of course, yeah, they don't have stores. I mean, they do have a few stores, but nowhere near enough to handle this.
Right.
So as a result, people either have to go to a Samsung store if they're near a Samsung store, or go to Best Buy where they bought their phone, or go to their carrier where they bought their phone. And there's conflicting information at both of those locations. So yeah, it's just a giant mess.
Well, you said they have some retail stores, but they're pretty few and far between, right? Like, they're not that many around.
I mean, there's two in Vancouver. There's one in Metrotown, and there's one at Richmond Center. So, I mean, they are opening stores, but yeah, they don't have nearly as many as Apple does. And I'm not even sure that the Samsung stores are equipped to deal with repairs or replacements. They seem like, I've been in Samsung stores and they mostly seem to just be showrooms per se. Like, there's no Genius Bar. They don't strike me, particularly the Metrotown location doesn't strike me as the sort of place you'd take a broken phone. So I'm not sure if they're equipped to deal with replacements per se. Like, they might have stock in the back that they can go get a new phone for you, maybe. But I wouldn't know.
I know we talked about this on the last episode, and I'm not sure if it was the one before that as well, because this, I feel like this story has been going on for several weeks, which I think it has.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously this is not good for them as a company, but to continue, I mean, to actually have replacement phones and to get reports that the same problem is happening. I think you said there was only one case that was reported so far.
Yeah. But there have been a lot of cases of it going wrong, sort of, like really slow lag. Some of them are overheating, which could lead to an explosion potentially. But yeah, we've only heard one report that one exploded.
I'll be really interested to see how this plays out for their sales in the next quarter.
Oh, it's going to be brutal.
Like, will that taint their reputation?
I think it will.
A big enough dent, though?
Oh, I think it will. I think just the way they've handled it, like, they could have handled it very quickly and orderly. They could have said, there's a problem, we need to recall all of these right away. They could have gotten the word out to all of the customers and issued free replacements really quickly. But instead, they just kind of flubbed the ball. And now it's drug on for all this time. So, I mean, every minute that they haven't fully resolved this matter is another minute that their PR is going down the drain. I mean, at the very least, their quarterly earnings are dead, like easily negative. And that's just the best case scenario. Like, we could be talking insane losses, the likes of which we haven't seen from a phone company before. Even BlackBerry, I don't think, ever had a quarter as bad as this is likely to be.
Yeah, speaking of BlackBerry, I mean, they've been in the news again.
Yes.
For some reason.
Yes, they announced that they are discontinuing hardware construction. They will now be sourcing their phones from China.
So is this the end?
I would say so. I mean, they're going to try and make a go of software.
I mean, it seems like they've been limping along.
Yeah, and
for quite a while, and painfully limping along. And I mean, they're just irrelevant.
Yeah, like, this at best is putting a Band-Aid on a gouge in their side. Like, it'll stem it for a little while, but the thing is, they're not really a phone company anymore. It's like the only things that are still keeping them afloat are basically BBM and their various other enterprise systems. So the thing is, their company in its current form can't be sustained on that alone, so they're going to have to change. Like, I don't think BlackBerry is going to die. I don't think they're going to entirely go away, but in their current form, they can't survive. I think basically they turned into a services company, and they produce their enterprise servers for businesses, and they have BBM as a customer-facing product, and that's it. Everything else gets slashed, sold at a fire sale.
At some point. I'm very skeptical that even BBM has a future.
It's hard to say. I mean, people still use it. It's still fairly popular among the business set. But it's being disproven as being
it's not secure anymore.
No, but it still is very popular among the business set. Like, there are business people that still swear by their BlackBerries and everything. So, I mean, there is still a niche market there. But yeah, overall, they couldn't possibly hope to get their old market share back in any avenue. So yeah, I mean, they could survive as a smaller company than they are now, but yeah, they're effectively done as a major player in the industry, I would say.
What else is going on?
Well, there's more Samsung. Now their washing machines are exploding, so there's
that. I thought their appliances were supposed to have a good reputation.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've heard that their fridges are not very good. There was an expose a while ago.
I'm thinking they're washer dryers, though.
Yeah, I've always heard they're good, but apparently not. There is now a recall, surprise, surprise, for any Samsung, well, I'm not sure any, but there particular models that were made between 2011 and 2016, which is a very wide swath of product. And the problem with the washing machines is that there's a rod inside that I think keeps the drum connected to the rest of the machine. Like it kind of bolts it to the chassis. And the problem is if you load down the washing machine with like really dense clothing and a bunch of other stuff that kind of gums up the works a bit, and then you try
heavy blankets.
Yeah, things like that, or like neoprene jackets or like whatever, stuff that really retains water. You put a bunch of that in and you do a heavy load, and apparently what's been happening is the rod actually snaps or breaks violently, and the entire top of the washing machine just sort of explodes.
Has anyone caught this on video?
I'm not actually sure, but I have seen a photo of one of the machines, and essentially the entire top is like sheared off.
Wow.
And it caused a massive dent in the drywall next to it.
Now, granted, I mean, you should be following the instructions on the machine, because they always tell you you're not supposed to overload it. You always need to leave room, and there are certain things you shouldn't be putting in there anyways.
Yeah.
That being said, I mean, I don't think this should be happening, though.
Yeah, that being said, I think it like, the thing is, I think the machines are rated for what people are trying to put in it.
Right.
But the rod inside is not holding up.
Yeah, it sounds like a fault with the manufacturing of it, but because
yeah.
I know my machine, if you put too many items in there, it simply will not turn on, which is what their machine should be doing. It should have a sensor to know, like, if it's overflowing, then turn it off.
I think they wouldn't be doing a recall if it were just this isolated thing where it's like, well, you shouldn't have filled it up with that stuff. Like, the fact that they are actually recalling all of these machines suggests that, yeah, there's a fault with that part.
Right. They're acknowledging it.
Yeah. So yet another extremely high profile recall for them. I don't know what exactly is going on with Samsung, but some people I've talked to have basically suggested that it's likely a problem with middle management trying to reach goals without respect to realism.
So, it's the continued obsession with profit and streamlining and minimizing costs.
Well, it is, but the thing is, that stuff ends up getting carried out to a ridiculous degree by the middle management. So, like, the people at the top, they put down these goals. Like, let's say in the case of the Note 7, upper management is like, we need to ship this before Apple announces the iPhone. So middle management just kind of single-mindedly goes towards that goal. Meanwhile, the people actually working on the stuff are telling middle management, hey, we need more time. There are issues with the battery and the quick charge, and we really need to get this right. And then middle management, because they don't want to escalate it to upper management or cause a fuss,
right,
or any of that stuff, they're just like, no, we're going ahead with this. Do whatever you can, just speed it up. And so corners are cut, mistakes are made.
But of course, that's poor decision making. It's going to bite them in the ass anyways.
Oh, because of course.
Now look at what they've done. They've cost the company millions. Millions and millions, and possibly billions, who knows?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean...
And those people are going to get fired.
That one severe lapse in judgment where you're basically saying, oh, yeah, no, we need to ship like a week sooner. So, no, you can't check the batteries. Like, just doing something like that has cost them... I mean, it's hard to say without waiting and seeing what happens, but it could cost them everything, quite literally, for the decision of one or two people to rush the phone to market.
It'll certainly be a good case study in business schools. How not
big time
to organize a product release?
Yeah, like A, it's a case study in how not to organize a product release. B, it's a case study in how not to organize a recall. Because that ain't going so great either. But yeah,
it's frustrating for me, because as someone who's worked on products before, I get the idea that you want to cut costs as much as possible, but there has to be a line where you say, okay, this is our bar, our quality bar, and we're not going to, under any circumstances, go below this to save a quick buck, because we know what the potential repercussions could be, and it's not worth the gamble. It is just not worth the gamble of pissing off your customers, creating bad PR, and losing, in the end, you just lose so much money from having to recall a product. Why? I don't understand why companies continue to do this.
Yeah, it really boggles my mind. I mean, I know we love to go on about Apple, but it's like Apple really just fucking gets it right. They, for lack of a better term, really love their products and care about their products, and they care about what customers think about their products, and that drives everything that they do.
And it shows in the price, but there's a reason why you paid those prices.
Exactly. Like, they take the time to do the intense R&D and QA and development of these things, and they don't let anything go to market unless it's absolutely ready to go. Yeah, there are hiccups, but never anything like this, ever.
And that's why the price, arguing on price, is such a dumb argument to make. To continue to make the argument on price. Like, buy a cheap piece of crap $300 notebook. It's not going to be anywhere near as good.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, the Samsung phones are roughly the same price as the iPhone now. So there's that expectation that they'll be just as good as the iPhone. And
they should be. They should be striving for.
Exactly. Like, if you're charging $700-$800 for a phone,
it's a premium product.
It better fucking work.
It's a premium smartphone.
And it had better fucking not explode randomly. Like, at that price point, we're talking about something that should be impeccable.
Right.
And
is that too much to ask for your phone not to explode?
I guess it is.
I guess we're setting the bar way too high, Michael.
Like, yeah, it's just crazy to me that somebody would deliberately ignore. Like, I'm willing to bet you there was a meeting at Samsung that went something like an engineer and a middle management guy. And the engineer's like, look, I know we really want to ship this on X date, but we've been looking at this battery tech and we think there might be an issue here. We really need to take the time to work this out and make sure that it's correct. And then the middle management guy is like, no, we have to ship here to hit our target so that we can make the sales that we want to make. See what you can do in 3 days or something. Like, I guarantee you a meeting like that went down. And as a result, we're now in this entire mess. Because somebody just slavishly said, no, we have to hit our target. Instead of, oh, well, that sounds pretty serious. What's the worst that could happen? And then the engineer, of course, would go, well, the batteries could explode and we'd have to issue a recall if we shipped a bunch of them out. At which point the not stupid middle management person would go, oh, that sounds really bad. We should really take some time to make sure this is right.
Well, it's like the ongoing issue that still seems to happen in corporate America, where, you know, so many companies, their number one goal is to generate profit. I mean, that's what capitalism is about. It's, you know, your first duty is to your shareholders and generating profit. But making profit is important, but at the expense of everything else.
Yeah,
I don't believe that.
It really is a risk. Don't. It really is a risk reward sort of situation. Like, you can't just be all risk, because if you're all risk, there's a greater and greater chance that you'll get no reward. And that's exactly what happened here. It's like, well, sure, something could go wrong, but if we ship before the iPhone, we'll sell all these units and we'll make all this money. And yeah. And companies make decisions like that all the time. And sometimes it works out for them. A lot of the time it doesn't work out for them. And things like this happen. It's always just really interesting to me how sometimes these interests can sort of collide and supersede common sense and good design. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'll call out Apple for this. A great example of something they're doing that seems pretty self-serving in an interest of making money is iCloud storage limits. 5 gigs for free is bullshit.
Yeah, that just makes me mad.
And you can tell the only reason it's still like that is because they want you to buy a bigger storage plan. But the thing is, a lot of people aren't going to be willing to do that. So they end up with 5 gigs, and then they're going to have to delete cherished memories.
Students,
off of
I can tell
phones.
You, students don't want to spend money.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, I guess I won't back up.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know how many people I've met either don't pay for iCloud backups or don't even have iCloud enabled, and their contacts, their calendars aren't synced anywhere?
Oh, God.
It seems like that's impossible, but I can't tell you how many times I've seen people's phones and they are not syncing that stuff anywhere.
Oh, wow.
And I've known people that have lost iPhones, have had phones stolen, bought new phones, didn't realize none of that was getting backed up anywhere, and they lose all their contacts.
Oh, God.
And that's a reality.
Yeah. Yeah, Apple, I think, has really dropped the ball there. They need to do a better job.
Of course they dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Last year, they should have fixed it.
Well, yeah, like I've been saying for a while, like they need to increase it, at least make it 20 gigs, at least, or make it the same size as the phone you buy. Like I just bought a 128 gig 7 Plus. Maybe I should get 128 gigs of iCloud for free.
I've been a proponent of that for a while, and I haven't heard that many people suggest that. And to me, that totally makes sense. Why not back up what is available on the device storage?
Right. Like it's almost like you're getting an exact clone of your phone on the cloud, right? And that would be a great upsell tool. Get a bigger storage phone, have more cloud storage. There you go. Like it just makes sense. And usually Apple does things that make sense, but in this case, profit.
It wouldn't be so bad if the 5 gigabytes was only used for making just like a clone of your phone, for example, like a compressed encrypted image. But if, for example, if photos did not count against your storage,
that would be the ideal thing where they say, okay, we're upgrading iCloud Photo Library, and now iCloud Photo Library won't count towards your iCloud limit, and we'll do unlimited upload just like Google.
Right.
Like that is the ideal scenario.
Sure.
But again, they want to make money.
Well, but there are ways to make money other ways too, right? Like make photos not count, but if you want to upload, you know, 1080p or 4K videos, if you want to back up your videos, which takes so much more bandwidth and storage, then sure, pay for that. You know, or, you know, if you want to store more than, if you want to have, I don't know, the infinite amount of iCloud backups, I mean, pay for more storage. I mean, there are other ways to do it. There are multiple options, multiple ways of doing this. Either give, you know, up the base tier from 5 to 20 or 50 gigs, or maybe just make photos not count, but they got to do something.
Yeah, and it's really surprising that they haven't at this point. Like the iPhone 7, it was all about, ooh, the photos. Well, fucking do something. Like, how can you just leave this and not address a very real problem that people are having? Like, I don't know, do they think that bumping from 16 to 32 is enough somehow? It totally isn't. Like, people will get the 32 and then they'll fill that up as well. Like, you're just moving the goalpost. You're just putting band-aids on this situation. But the thing is, people are going to keep taking photos and they're going to run out of space eventually as well. Again, and there's nothing there to stop it. People will run out of space and then they'll be forced to make some very difficult decisions about what photos to keep and what photos to get rid of, or what videos to get rid of, or apps to get rid of, or whatever. So yeah, it's just kind of a mess, and they need to do something about it, and they haven't for a while now. And I don't know why. The only answer really is that they care more about profit in this instance, which seems petty and stupid, given that normally they don't act that way.
It's very peculiar. I really wish I could somehow be inside Apple to get an answer. I can only imagine that some people might be conflicted.
Yeah, right?
There have to be opposing
be people in inside Apple that agree with us. I would imagine that there's quite a sizable,
because we don't
of them,
know what the actual number, because they don't release this. We don't know how many people are actually paying for extra iCloud storage, right? So who knows? That could be a big business for them too. Who knows?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean,
it could be a decent revenue stream, but obviously, probably a drop in the bucket in comparison to the iPhone sales,
but
right?
Everything is a drop in the bucket compared to iPhone sales. That's like 60 or 70% of the revenue. So, you know.
Yeah.
They are expanding their services business. Like, their service revenue is up. I think at the last quarterly earnings, it was approaching something like the revenue of a Fortune 100 mm-hmm. company or something just by itself. And that's like Apple Music, iTunes cloud subscriptions, iCloud storage subscriptions, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
Now I'm in kind of a rotten mood.
Yeah.
There is a new Google phone coming out.
Ah, yes.
Did you see the
October 4th event? Yes. So Google is set to announce their new phones, which are not going to be called Nexus anymore. They are going to be the Pixel and Pixel XL.
Oh, they're going with the Pixel brand.
Which matches, of course, their tablet and their premier line of Chromebooks. So they seem to be shifting to this brand as their hardware brand. These phones were built with the help of HTC.
What's that other company?
Huawei? Yeah, no. This year's phones are all HTC, and they're primarily based on the HTC 10 design. So that kind of weird blocky phone with the aluminum.
Right.
Only these are a bit more refined, and they have an inexplicable glass panel covering part of the back of the phone. It's kind of like a weird window shape.
Yeah, I saw it. It did look a little bit strange when I first took a peek at
it. And then it has bizarre antenna lines on it as well. Like,
it's nowhere near as pretty as the iPhone 7 in rear.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, not as clean.
It's not the ugliest phone I've seen, but it's not nowhere near the prettiest phone I've seen either.
Yeah.
But it is quite premium for Android.
I didn't get a look at the... I don't know if there was a shot of the front. Do we know what the front is going to look like? Is it an edge-to-edge display?
No, there is a bezel.
Okay.
It essentially looks like an iPhone on the front.
Okay.
More or less.
Headphone jack?
I'm actually not sure. I think it does. I think it has one.
It'll probably have one at least for one more generation. And next year, probably. We'll start seeing a lot more phones.
Next year, Samsung is apparently planning to get rid of the headphone jack. So.
USB-C? Some kind? Like either some
no,
kind
of... No. Oh, man. This was a dumb story. So there's this report that Samsung intends to make their own proprietary port, like Lightning, but
oh, no.
Samsung.
No.
Yeah, really.
This isn't going to go over well.
And my immediate reaction to that was this would be the dumbest thing they could ever do. Because the thing is, and I've said this before, Samsung has zero brand loyalty. People do not buy Samsung phones because they're mm-hmm. Samsung phones. People buy them because they're the Android phone to get, and that's it. Like, there's nothing keeping people on a Samsung phone specifically. There's no Samsung specific services that anyone uses. They try to trot out things, but nobody ever uses them. So the thing is, if they then go, oh, we're bringing in this proprietary port and only our headphones work with it, people are going to laugh them out the door. Like, people will just move to something that does work with their headphones. Like, at least with Lightning is fairly ubiquitous, and they have an adapter, and they support Bluetooth headphones, which increasingly is where the industry is moving anyway. So, I mean, you could argue it's kind of the same as what Apple does, but I would say that it isn't, because Apple by itself is a huge market. Samsung is a large chunk of a greater overall Android market. And if they suddenly say, oh, we're using this proprietary port, suddenly there's all these Android users that are like, well, wait a minute. I can't really switch to your phone because then I'd have to get a whole new pair of headphones. And sure, they could ship headphones in the box, do all the stuff, but it's kind of like, it's the same problem, but it's also a very different problem just because of the way the Android market is. Because Apple has that uniformity, right? iPhone is an iPhone is an iPhone, sure. It's an iPad, and everything has Lightning. So, I mean, anyone that has an Apple device, if they get Lightning headphones, it's going to work with all that stuff. And Bluetooth headphones will work with all iOS devices and Macs. I have to think at some point down the road, Macs will also get Lightning or...
Yeah, eventually. I think we're still a little bit away from that. Maybe another 2 years.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I
too far off, though.
I kind of see USB-C getting a new micro spec.
Well, we talked about this before, because the iPhone, I mean, Apple's not going to want to put the current USB port on.
No.
There.
And I mean, Apple practically invented USB-C. Their engineers basically gave the USB group a hand designing it using work that they'd done with Lightning. Because of course, USB-C is reversible and Lightning is reversible. So it was a perfect match. And yeah. Like, Apple effectively guided the development of USB-C. So, all of those Android phones out there with USB-C ports, thanks, Apple. So, I mean, as I've said, it stands to reason that they'd want to create a new, smaller version of USB-C that's more like Lightning. And then they could feasibly use that across all of their devices. And then it would be an open spec, of course. So, then Android devices could use it. That, I think, is the long-term play here. But of course, if Samsung decides that they're going to create their own port, suddenly they're all alone and Apple's over here with everybody else like, oh, well, we made this new USB-C and it's great and we're putting it into all our devices. And you're over here with this like Samsung Thunder port. Or whatever the hell they decide to call it. And, oh, look, it only works with the headphones you make. Gee, that's cool. I mean, plus it helps a lot that Apple owns Beats, because Beats are like the headphone for a lot of people. So, yeah, the Pixel phones, they're also going to announce a new router that's kind of their answer to the Amazon Echo. It's going to be called Google Home. It's going to be kind of like an on-hub router, except it has a microphone and everything. So randomly in your house, you can just be like, okay, Google, and it'll beep and you can do whatever. And they're also announcing a new 4K version of the Chromecast as well. So it'll be a pretty hardware heavy event.
Yeah. 4K streaming is interesting because Netflix is putting more emphasis and resources on developing 4K content.
All of their original shows are shot in 4K and are available in 4K. So, I mean, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, House of Cards, it's all 4K. If you have the capability to stream it, it's there. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. But I think none of that is going to matter as much as what may be announced at this event, and that is Google Andromeda. And what Andromeda is essentially Chrome OS plus Android.
That seems like a strange combination.
It is a brand new operating system they have supposedly been developing for quite some time now, and it's essentially the merging of Chrome OS with Android. So instead of having Chrome OS, it's now going to be Andromeda, and it'll be a windowed operating system, except everything will be Android apps. And it might have some novel new interface design. I don't know. Obviously, it'll all be material design. There's very few details on it, but the rumor about it goes that they're going to show off Andromeda and announce simultaneously a new Pixel tablet that has Andromeda and a new laptop that has Andromeda. So like a Chromebook Pixel and a Pixel tablet, both running Andromeda, and the tablet will apparently be available this holiday, and the laptop will be out sometime in the new year, something like that. With what we know about Andromeda, I feel confident saying that Google basically intends to replace Android with Andromeda down the road.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Like, this will be their new operating system. It'll be their answer to iOS. It'll be, yeah, we open sourced Android and now all these other people are using it. Fine, whatever. It's Linux now. Blech. We're going to do this, and this will be our closed source operating system that runs on our hardware and runs on everything that we build. So that'll trickle down to the phones they make as well. So maybe not these Pixel phones, but the next Pixel phones will almost certainly be running on Andromeda.
Fascinating. We should pick that up next week because we're, I'm afraid, out of time for today.
Well, we will find out next week exactly what it is if they announce it.
So yes, listeners, stay tuned and come back next week for some discussion about that. You've been listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network. I'm Alex Knight, here with Michael Norton, as always. And we would love it if you could help us continue to do what we do here, which is put out a diverse array of fantastic programming here at the Hologram Radio Podcast Network. The best way to show your support is to go to patreon.com/hologramradio and become a regular donator. It is the single best way to show your support for what we do here. Donate a buck or two, whatever you feel comfortable with. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes to ensure you get every new episode each and every week. And we sure would appreciate a review in iTunes. It helps other people find the podcast and generally makes us feel good. You can find us on Twitter at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is available at Zen Impulse, and I am at Zero Distraction. And check us out on Facebook and Instagram, pretty much everywhere these days. And if you'd like to send some feedback to either of us the old-fashioned way, send an email to theimpromptu@hologramradio.org.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.